And support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
And hi everybody, I'm Kelly at KellyThul on Twitter.
And we are so happy to be back for episode 131, I guess.
What a roll, man.
They just keep coming. Yeah, whether anybody's listening or not, we're still here.
So, just fun fact, I will argue our primary distribution mechanism is iTunes, which we have zero line of sight to how many people are downloading or listening to it there. But we put copies out on YouTube as well, my YouTube channel, and it gives us at least a little feel. And, you know, I had planned to have YouTube be my early retirement plan, you know, my option to kind of speed things along. And after $12.65 in earnings, which is the vast majority that's come within the last year, it's a little slow going. But episode 17, A Walk in the Woods with Graham Parker, I believe is the title of the episode, has generated like 35% of the revenue inexplicably.
Wow. So, it was a good episode, though. Graham Parker, A Walk in the Woods was a great book, a better audiobook. So,
yeah, I guess. But inexplicably, it is just crazy viewed. Every week, it's the one that's viewed a lot. So,
yeah. Well, for those of you out there who are listening who haven't listened to that episode, you should get on Kelly's YouTube channel and listen to it. And we might, you know, get half a penny. So, that's go right. For it, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Matter of fact, if you want, go to the playlist, watch the first one. And then if you got something to do, just walk away. Let it just play and play and play.
Let it go. Go to bed. Mute the volume. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Do us a solid.
Yeah. So speaking of YouTube, our last episode, Kelly gave a great YouTube recommendation that he talked about the joy that was present in the videos. And I mentioned that I had been watching some new YouTube channels to me with a similar thing. They brought me joy because the person making the videos was so full of joy about the things that they were doing. So that's my recommendation this week is a YouTube channel. It's the YouTube channel of Yvonne Williams, and that's Y-V-O-N-N-E Williams. So she has a website called Back to Earth Creations, and what she does is makes all kinds of cool craft stuff that she sells at booths at conventions, sci-fi conventions, anime conventions, and craft fairs. So she's reminds me of a younger version of me in that she can't pick one thing to like, so she does everything. Only she's way happier than I've ever been. And so I applaud her for that. But she's also has a few videos where she talks about her chickens and she raises rabbits and she's into gardening. So I don't have rabbits, but the chickens and the gardening thing I attempt to get better at every year. But her main stuff that she does is wire wrapping of jewelry. She does a lot of leather crafting. So if you know anyone that's in the market for a custom made and dyed leather corset, they make some really cool corsets, y'all. And she's really big on custom work. So even if she doesn't have something up on her website for sale, if you want something similar but in a different color, just drop her a line because she's always doing custom work. In fact, that is a lot of what her videos are she's videoing herself making a request by a client. So it's really pretty interesting. She crochets as well, but she takes so much joy in the things that she does. She surprises herself at how good it comes out a lot of times, and it just tickles her. And she's just laughing like a maniac, and she's so happy, and it makes me happy watching her being happy. I am, incidentally, a huge failure at wire wrapping, but she's convinced me that I might once again give it a try. if you've ever tried anything like that, it's a lot harder than it looks. It looks like you're just going to bend some wire around some stuff and it's going to come out looking really cool, but it takes a little bit of finesse. So she is actually, I have even taken wire wrapping class before and I still suck. Her wire wrapping is better than the class that I paid for. So, and she has a million videos on wire wrapping, but that's not all she does. She does polymer clay, which I've talked about before. I like polymer clay. So she does a lot of polymer clay stuff as well. And I'm really upset that I didn't get this recommendation out before this happened. But one of her recent videos, she was totally geeking out because Adam Savage linked to one of her videos on his Facebook page. And she was having a full-blown joy meltdown, geeking out that Adam Savage noticed who she was. And I would be the same way. So I'd probably be worse. Yes. So that video, in case you didn't see it from Adam Savage's Facebook page, is the Dragon Eye of Sauron video that she made. What this is she takes a glass cabochon and she paints on the back of it in many, 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 many layers. What looks like from the other side by the time she's done is the coolest dragon eye or eye of Sauron that you've ever seen. And if you're not into going to these conventions and looking at fantasy themed jewelry, because I'm a total Etsy ho, I look at Etsy all the time, so I see all kinds of this stuff. It's a big thing in jewelry, even decorating journal covers, doing all sorts of things with it, is making these big dragon eyes that you can then put eyelids on in polymer clay or do all sorts of cool stuff. But this is the best dragon eye I have ever seen from a multitude of videos on YouTube and from all of the stuff I've seen that's been handmade on Etsy. This particular eye is just phenomenal. So if you do nothing else, watch all of the effort that goes into making this eye, and she's using pretty easy materials to find. She's actually making this eye with a glass cabochon that you're probably going to have to order online. So, but nail polish.
So what's a cabochon?
It's a glass dome. I'm sorry. It's a jewelry term. Any possible jewelry makers out there know what cabochons are. So it's a it's just a glass dome. So what it does is when you put, some people when they make eyes, they just print out a picture of an eye and then they will glue it to the back of the cabochon. Because glass, and get all sciencey here, refracts what's on the back of it. It has a magnifying effect. So it really makes it look pretty cool, even if it's just paper. But a lot of the ones that you'll see scattered around the internet, that's the easy way to do it, is to find an eye somebody's made in Photoshop, print it out on glossy paper and stick it to the back of this cabochon, and there you go, you have an eye. She goes through painting layer after layer after layer after layer after layer of all, I don't even know how many colors of nail polish, and of all things, that's what she's using is nail polish to make it, and it's a cool eye. So Adam Savage was duly impressed and enough to put it on his Facebook page. I saw this video before Adam Savage, so I'm jealous now that he got to post it on his Facebook page before I got to recommend her on Nurture and Support, because totally we would get her so many views.
Absolutely. And I think if nothing else, Adam now owes us putting a link to A Walk in the Woods with Graham Parker on his Facebook page.
Yes. So that's a good place to start. That's actually the first video of hers that I watched, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And I've been working through her catalog. She's been doing this for a while, and she posts something pretty much every day, whether it's just a vlog of her talking about her chickens or her garden or her rabbits. It's not always a tutorial every day, but her tutorials are really thorough. Most of the time, she is showing you the entire thing from start to finish. There's no speeding it up or stopping while she does something off the camera, usually. Some of the complicated wire wrapping, she does do that, but she's showing you how to get the pattern started. And then when you have to do that for 30 minutes to get your pattern established, she's not going to make you sit there the whole time for that. But it's a really cool channel. I totally recommend that you at least go check out that Eye of Sauron, because that's pretty cool. But she also, I think there's like at least 45 videos in a cosplay, one that she was doing. There's a video of them coming back from a show, and she got an idea for a cosplay costume for herself, because normally she's making stuff for other people and she doesn't make stuff for herself like most crafters. And she was so excited about it. So, I mean, they immediately got home. She had sketched out the costume, and she got home and immediately started working on it. And because she does so much leather crafting, she's actually making it out of actual real leather, instead of like most of us that would be looking at cosplay stuff, we're making it out of foam. So she's doing the real thing and doing the filigree on the leather and the all of it. It's really cool. I haven't watched the entire thing yet. I've watched the first few, but she's got a horde of videos on that, which I think would be very entertaining and informative to watch. So one of the other things that she started recently was a Patreon. And all sorts of people have Patreons these days, but hers is pretty cool in that for a dollar a month on her Patreon, you get entered into a kind of like a lottery to win a little gnome house that she makes every month out of polymer clay. And that is something that would sell for a lot of money. And for the low price of a dollar, you get entered into the little lottery, which right now you got a pretty good chance. There's her Patreon's pretty low right now. And she actually takes a D20 and throws a D20 to give you numbers. And that's how she's going through figuring out how everybody wins. And anyway, it's pretty cool. So for a buck, you can get in on that and see if you can't win one of her cool houses, because last month's was, or actually, I guess it's the February house, was a cool steampunk heart shaped little gnome house. It was freaking adorable. And I would have paid a horde of money for that. So
are you in? Are you in on the Patreon?
I am in on the Patreon, but I wasn't in early enough to get in for the steampunk heart house. So I was really disappointed. But she's doing two giveaways. She reached her first milestone in Patreon. So she's actually doing two giveaways a month now, but I think only one of them is a gnome house. Another one is something else that she's made this month. It's a wire wrapped with crystal leaves tree that would go very well with a gnome house. So it's nicely sized to go with the gnome house. So it's really cute. So for a dollar, it's really cool. And it's really cheap. Somebody should tell her she should really go up on her Patreon pledges. But I'll see if I can't win a gnome house before I tell her that.
You want to keep the numbers low so you can kind of score something here.
Yes. Yes. After I get a gnome house, then I'll tell her, hey, you might want to bump your numbers up. But
start off your note with, you might be familiar with our Walk in the Woods with Graham Parker.
Yes. Yeah. So she is, I know it's depending on who you are. I guess if someone called me adorable, I would call them a liar, but she is freaking adorable. I enjoy watching her videos. I watch them. I watch one of her videos every day. It's one of the things I do when I get home from work. I look to see if she's put up a new video today, just to see somebody be happy.
But how long do they run?
You know, if it's a day where she's just putting up one of her vlog episodes, it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. But her tutorials tend to run usually at least half an hour. Some of them have been well over an hour, depending on how complicated something is that she's trying to show. So she has lately been pretty much saying in her videos that she's trying to show the entire process. So for one, if you're going to try to do what she's doing, that you have an idea of how long it's going to take you to sit down and do it, which is useful. Now, me trying to do that without really having any clue, I wouldn't take anywhere close to her time, because she knows what she's doing. But it does give you an idea of how long it takes a pro to do this. And so, hey, if you're only 3 times that long, then maybe you're not doing too bad. So her video today was actually one I really like, and it might be a little out of my skill set to start off with, but it was, I think she calls it a DIY leafless tree pendant. You know, the image of the leafless tree with the gnarly roots in a circle. I always call those tree of life's Celtic tree of life. But it's that symbol gets used in a lot of different stuff. So she didn't give it a technical name. It's a leafless tree in a circle. But it's wire. The whole thing is wire wrapped. The tree is made out of wrapped wire. And she goes through the entire process from start to finish, from pulling the wire off her spools and cutting it to starting wrapping the whole thing. I think that video ran about 40, 45 minutes thereabouts. So I would never be able to do that in 45 minutes, but it does give you a time, an idea of how long something like that takes people. So, and that's a really cool pendant if you're into that. So I am. So I like it. But her name is Yvonne Williams on YouTube, and her website is Back to Earth Creations, which you can check it out to see some of the stuff that she might have for sale, which is, it's really inexpensive. I was really shocked at how inexpensive all of that jewelry is. It does take a while to make. And then if you're, she does chain mail. I didn't mention that before. She does chain
mail. Now we're talking.
Yeah. They make chain mail bikinis. Also,
not in the market for one of those.
Yeah. So all of the different kind of chainmail jewelry, and she's really big on doing custom work. So if there's some sort of chainmail something that you're looking for, hit her up, because I have a feeling her custom prices are probably about as inexpensive as the rest of her stuff. And she's really willing to help people. And like I said, most of her videos, she's doing something that's been requested, a custom job that someone has, you know, emailed her about. Could you make me this? That tree today that she made, that was something a client hit her up to make custom for him. So anyway, it's really enjoyable.
Well, I'm not in the market for a leather corset. However, I have done a little cosplay and was very, very proud of my Kylo Negan that I came up with a nice little mashup there. And I'm working on my next one that involves Braveheart. And so I need one of these. And there's a term for it. I don't know what the top leather gear is that Braveheart wears. But
the chest plate type thing.
Yeah. It's like the big leather vest.
Yeah. It's kind of looks like a
leather
yeah.
vest.
Yeah.
Not a corset, I'd like to point out again, but that,
yes.
But that would be a component I need. And I'd been looking to figure out, again, as you talked about, could I do that in foam and make it look halfway reasonable? But I might just have to price her out, because that would be nice to have someone do a good job. So
yeah,
it sure sounds like she would.
I imagine she would. They do a lot of leather crafting. I'm not really into leather, but you can learn a lot from watching leather crafting for other purposes. I learn a lot watching a lot of leather videos, even though I don't use leather. So really interesting. And yeah, it can't hurt to ask her, and she probably knows exactly what it is you're looking for. Yeah. So, but yeah.
All right. Well, that's awesome. And it was, so this one's going to probably rival, past recommendation yours, Punished Props, which I am a regular consumer of these days. Love that channel. And they're fairly happy people, but she sounds like she's like at a whole nother level of happy. So
she's really happy.
Cool.
She just,
excellent. Well, now I feel bad. Because you gave a recommendation that I'm absolutely going to use, and I'm going to give a recommendation that I'm pretty sure you're going to ignore. But
okay,
that's because it's a sports ball thing to a degree. But I think actually, I don't know, there's enough that's intriguing about it that you might at some point take me up on this. This is kind of interesting because our good friend Mike, who's I think I may have mentioned this last time we got together, has started a new podcast called The Opium Den, and he's really doing a great job with it. Maybe a recommendation on a future Nurture and Sport, but about 5-minute videos on YouTube, interviews, Mike and somebody else. He edits it down pretty quick and has a nice kind of visual going along with the conversation. And his first three have each kind of garnered right around 3,500 views each. So they've done fairly well. And I was one of them. And so, he had Christian Menses on and me and then Vex X. And so it's kind of like, you know, I'm bookended by two considerably more interesting people, but they've all done pretty well. But when I did my one with Mike, his conversation was around, how do you pick recommendations for Nurture and Support versus Squat Cobbler? and the process to go there, which adds further irony to this recommendation, because this is probably more of a Squat Cobbler recommendation, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I just wanted to give this a shot. I knew it's a long shot. You're going to be interested in it, but I still want to make the recommendation, and I really did enjoy it. So my recommendation for this week, this will be actually the third 30 for 30 by ESPN recommendation I make to Mel, who's not a big sports fan.
Yes.
In my defense, the first one was about South African rugby and yes. was kind of interesting and had some political angles and stuff to it. So had a shot for there. I think the second one was about the 85 Bears, which is awesome, but probably didn't ring any bells for you, you know, in all reality, but
the Bears.
They're fascinating people. So this may fall a little bit closer to the Bears, but this is another 30 for 30, and it just came out recently, and it's called This Was the XFL. So let me stop there for a second and say, do you know what the XFL is?
I do not. Extreme okay. Football League?
That was actually from a copyright perspective taken. Oh. So when they came up with this league, but it's football. And it was a football league that ran for 1 year. It was a co-partnership between Dick Ebersol of NBC. Dick Ebersol is the guy who brought us Saturday Night Live, who brought us Sunday Night Football eventually, was the youngest television executive in history, highly respected guy, and Vince McMahon.
Not as highly respected.
Runner of the WWE.
Yeah, see, I know sports, and, y'all. I know who Vince McMahon is.
There you go. See? So NBC, this is basically a documentary about the XFL and the one season it ran. And what an interesting season it was. NBC had traditionally, NFL football, huge moneymaker for networks. They kind of decided it was a buyer's market, and so they buy these like 5-year plans with the networks, and they came forward 1 year and say, well, if you want to do us, you know, if you want to broadcast our stuff now, it's going to be this ridiculously high amount. And NBC kind of said, we're out. And so the NBC had done football for a super long time. Now they were no longer going to be doing football, and they were looking to say, what can we do to kind of fill the hole? And inexplicably, Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon are really, really good friends. And they came up with the idea to say, hey, people are excited about football. After the Super Bowl ends, it's kind of like, there's nothing to do. Let's create a league. And so basically, Vince, before they partnered, announced he was going to make a league. It was going to be called the XFL. And it was going to start playing games a year from after he announced it. They had no teams. They had no owners. They had no players. They had no TV deal. But he just said, I'm going to do this. And so he ends up pairing up with NBC because they actually said, this is worth a shot. And so they kind of just tell the story of the XFL. And the concept behind it was, you know, Vince is a showman. And so they were introducing new things. They said, well, the NFL stands for the No Fun League. And so the XFL is going to be fun. It's going to be rough and tumble. And a lot of the early promos show the players dodging like mortar fire. And, you know, people, there were actual surveys they did where people assumed that there was a possibility that the defensive players would be able to hit the offensive players over the head with chairs. You know, they weren't really sure exactly how the league was going to work out. But it was like, this isn't going to be sissy football. This is going to be real football, including some very interesting changes to the rules, like NFL games start off with a coin flip. XFL games start off with, they put the ball in the middle of the field. They put two players 35 yards away from it and say, go get it. And whoever gets the ball gets to receive the kickoff. Much more exciting than a coin toss.
Yes.
So also tended to injure a lot of players. So they had to eventually tweak that. Before the season started, I don't want to spoil much of the documentary, but just one other kind of pretty cool moment is they had their own blimp. They had the XFL blimp. Their football was a black football with a couple of red stripes on it. The blimp looked just like the football. And they were going to fly it over an NFL game because they said, the NFL doesn't own the airspace over the nationally broadcast game, so we're going to fly the XFL blimp over the game. Unfortunately, it crashed into a seafood restaurant, and it never made it over there. So not an auspicious beginning from there. But it's it's super fascinating to kind of hear what they were doing and the different angles, and a little sad because what you see is it kind of start off like maybe this is going to be okay to them very rapidly, particularly Dick Ebersol going like, oh crap, this is not going to work out at all, is it? And so Vince starts doing his Vince thing and starts introducing more wrestling like concepts and a lot of these set pieces and all those types of things. Their use of cheerleaders in the XFL paralleled much more the wrestling.
I was going to bring up stripping cheerleaders as pretty, a possibility.
Pretty darn close. Actually, and I won't spoil it, but funny you should mention strippers because there will be mention in this documentary of strippers before it's all said and done.
All right.
As all things are wrapped up, but I won't give any additional context, but good call. Good call on that one. But it is super interesting to see. And what I always remember the most, and most people who know anything about the XFL at all remember this one thing, is because this was the fun league and they wanted players to express their, express themselves.
Yes.
The names on the back of the jerseys, they were allowed, to put whatever they liked on the back of their jerseys.
I can imagine that went well.
So there was one guy that chose Teabagger, which was probably bad. I would say it was pretty bad, which had to put the announcers in a tough spot. But the most famous one was He Hate Me. There was one player that had He Hate Me as his name, which nobody really understood, but everyone loved.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil it for you, but because I had never understood, it's not He Hates Me, it's He Hate Me. I never understood what that meant. But in this documentary, the great mystery of He Hate Me is revealed. And it makes perfect sense when it's explained actually by the player on the way he came up with, but it's fun. So it's a real interesting, this all happened in 2001. It's an interesting process of some creative minds coming up with something. Two very close friends, one of which determines early on, oh crap, they had made a 2-year commitment to this. And basically by the end of the first season, it was like, this is really not going to happen anymore. And so it's like, how do I tell my good friend and person I'm contractually obligated to do another season of this that we really need to put this thing to sleep? And so there's a little bit of that personal dynamic. There's all the silliness around what they did. And it's pretty interesting. So it's ESPN's 30 for 30. This was the XFL. It is pretty fun to watch. If you don't catch the whole thing, you can go on YouTube and catch a couple snippets. That will be pretty good. But I thought what might be fun before we wrap up this recommendation is to quiz Mel a little bit.
No.
There were 8 teams in the XFL and in 2 divisions. So in 1 division, there was Orlando, Chicago, New York, New Jersey, and Birmingham. Okay, so Orlando, Chicago, New York, New Jersey, and Birmingham. Okay. I'm going to give you some nicknames for each of the teams. See how well you can do to line them up.
Okay.
The Rage, R-A-G-E, The Rage.
New York?
That was actually Orlando.
Oh, yeah, shocking.
The Hitmen.
The Hitmen. Birmingham.
That was actually New York, New Jersey.
Okay, see, I'm not good with the sports ball.
The sports ball. We'll try just the other, we'll give you just another shot at the other division here. Other division is Los Angeles, San Francisco, Memphis, and Las Vegas.
Okay, Vegas. Vegas has to have some good stuff.
Okay, so the Maniacs with an X. The cities again, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Memphis, and Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Nope, it's the Memphis Maniacs.
Memphis Maniacs. Okay.
How about the Outlaws?
The Outlaws. Vegas?
Ding, ding, ding. There you go. Woohoo! Los Angeles Extreme, San Francisco Demons, Memphis Maniacs, Las Vegas Outlaws, Orlando Rage, Chicago Enforcers, the New York, New Jersey Hitmen, and the Birmingham Thunderbolts.
All right. So where did they get these players?
They were available. They were not playing in the NFL. There were a few. Tommy Maddox was like the best player in the XFL, quarterback. He quarterbacked the team that won the $1 million game, their Super Bowl. And he ended up going and playing in the NFL. He was in the NFL. He got cut. He played in the XFL for a year. He went back to the NFL. He hate me. Went into the NFL for a little while. Had a little bit of business.
So but if they survived XFL, they got a shot at the NFL.
A few of them. A few of them did. A few of them, you know, they weren't good enough to make the NFL, but they made the XFL. But then when it was done, they still weren't good enough to make the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
That actually sounds interesting. It does.
It is. And it's, you know, and it was the moment. So they were, I mean, this was a serious venture. Vince McMahon's a very creative guy, has a lot of ideas on how he wants to do things. But Dick Ebersol is a little more, you know, mainstream, but also incredibly intelligent in putting things together. And he was like, so Vince is going to kind of be in the background for this, you know, I'm pretty sure. But on opening day, you got Vince striding out to midfield going, this is the XFL. And they cut to Dick Ebersol going like, oh, boy. You know, kind of trying to go, okay, we're going to have to see how this plays out. But it's interesting on a lot of fronts, just the creative. And there's actually some things, some innovations that they did introduce more about how a game is broadcast that the NFL picked up on. And they actually pulled in, and they were done first in the XFL, and now the NFL does it. And so there were a few things that kind of carried forward. Then there were a lot of things that didn't, you know, that probably didn't translate well.
Well, that you said it was in 2001. That had to be a rough year to try to do XFL, you know. So not surprised it only made it one season. I mean, come on. We had a lot going on that year.
There was a few things going on then. But that was kind
of
fun.
They should probably try that again right now, because I think we are really, as a nation, in the mood for some blood sport.
That's right. This could be the time where
I think they need to try it again. Put some spikes on the football, you know, put some spikes on the helmets, and let's go for this.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, and I don't know exactly why this happened, but so I mentioned it was like a black football. For some reason in the manufacturing of it, or how it came together, I don't know if it was the paint that they put on it or the dye, it was incredibly slippery. And so the balls were, you know, quarterbacks would go back to throw the ball and it'd fly out of their hands, and it was not good. So one guy basically had all the XFL footballs brought to his house, and he had some 60 weight sandpaper, and he sanded them down, took him into his shower and kind of shook him to make sure they wouldn't slide out of his hand. And he did that for all the XFL game balls. So it was a little bit on maybe the low tech side on some things, but pretty fun. Interesting. There's some interesting things going on with the cheerleaders that you will be covered from there. So,
hey, and nowadays they could do that and stream it online and make a killing, because they wouldn't even have to get network time. So,
yeah. And Vince McMahon's always ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
So
I think he needs to try it again. I might even give that a shot.
So this was the XFL 30 for 30 ESPN.
And it's playing on ESPN right now.
It's playing on ESPN.
Not on Netflix.
Right. Okay. Not on Netflix. And actually, what I was very disappointed to see is it looks like 30 for 30 is off of Netflix.
Oh.
So I had to scramble around to find a way to view it. And we mentioned on a previous Nurture and Support, I'm cutting the cable. Haven't cut it yet, which was good, because that allowed me to go in and say, are you a subscriber? And yes. And so I was able to watch it off the ESPN site. But might be a little hard to get to. There are some full versions of it on YouTube, but they're sketchy. There's one that's like one quarter of the screen. And another one that says, hey, come to this site and you'll be able to view it, which is, you know, some dangerous clickbait. So try to find a way to do it, but it is running right now on ESPN. So you can kind of check it out there. So
amazingly, I get ESPN, though I wouldn't know the channel number to save my life.
Yeah, do it. Check your guide. Look for This Was the XFL. It runs a little over an hour. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, I think. Pretty fun.
Interesting. I'm far more likely to watch that than the one about the Bears. So
fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. Social media time.
Pass.
Pass. Well, I'm going to recommend it to the Nurture and Support listeners that they follow God. Because I just think their life will be more rewarding.
Yes.
I was incredibly honored recently that God followed me on Twitter. And so I'd like to give the big guy a shout out and suggest people follow him. God's Twitter handle, in case you were not aware, is actually at OMG me, M-E, damn it. So it's at OMG me, damn it. While I was incredibly excited when I got the notification that God followed me, I also came to the realization that there's going to be a day soon when God stops following me.
And then what happens?
Then I'm going to be sad. It's going to be a sad day.
Yes. Well, then I'll take back my pass. If Kelly's going to recommend God, I have, in fact, the very last account on Twitter that I followed was Satan.
So there we go. Nice balance.
And it's at S8N. So, yeah, it's a recent account, I believe, very recent. And it's got a few anecdotes on there. But there you go. If Kelly got followed by God, I don't know if Satan followed me yet, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Doesn't strike me as a big follow back kind of guy. I don't know.
Probably not. So there you go.
There you go. So follow God and Satan. We're perfectly balanced.
Yes.
Watch some XFL. And
do some wire wrapping.
Do some wire wrapping while you're watching the XFL.
Right. Very therapeutic. We got you covered this episode, everybody.
Absolutely. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week. We're going to hand it over to... I don't have it in me to be mean to Matt this week. It is someone who's not followed by God, I'm fairly certain. We're going to turn over our good friend Matt, who's going to give you all the particulars on the many different ways that you can connect and nurture and support through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, my YouTube channel, home of the highly popular Walk in the Woods with Graham Parker. And thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting giants.